This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy. You are listening to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 235, brought to you by Triptych Books, Discount Comic Book Service, and iFanboy listeners like you. Hey, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 235. That number impresses me every single week. Good news, everybody. No Tom Caters this week. There it is.
Thank God. Sick of that guy.
that's the sound of people hitting the button on their iPod. So the rest of you decided to stick around. I'm Josh.
Jokes Flanagan. On them. They already downloaded it.
And I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello, Josh.
And that mellifluous voice is finally back from his European quote-unquote vacation, Connor Kilpatrick.
I tell you what, Turkish prisons are really nice in the summertime.
I just got to say that I'm glad that we were able to thank all the iFanboy members. Connor's bail wasn't that expensive.
Hey, Connor, well, the euro is just sliding down, so the bail ended up being not such a big deal.
Connor, do you still have my watch? You're supposed to hold on to it while you're in prison.
Nice.
That's why my back hurts.
iFanboy.com is about comics.
Sorry, haven't done that in a while, and you can tell. We like comics a lot. That is what this website is about. It's about liking comics and talking about them. It's very simple. Every week we read a bunch of them. One of us has to pick the one that they thought was the best. That's on a rotating three-week schedule. So even if you've been away for several weeks, you have to read everything, catch up, and do it the day you get back because it's your goddamn turn.
We could have planned that a little better, I thought.
I think you planned it perfectly.
Yeah.
It's just great. So that becomes the pick of the week. We talk about that on the show and the other books from the week and some other stuff, some fun things in there. And before we get to it, there are going to be spoilers. We're going to talk about the stuff that happened in the book. So if you haven't read them yet, come back later. Consider yourself warned. Connor, ¿cómo se va?
As Josh alluded to earlier, I was on a two-week vacation. I rolled into my comic store on Wednesday, and Tuesday night was the night I got back from that vacation. I rolled into the comic store Wednesday and bought almost 40 books.
And from the week before, I mean, I bought 25 that hell week. It was that.
That's what
week.
I mean. It was 23 books from the week before, and some ungodly number from this weekend. I had to read not all, but enough. Like, you know, the books that I had to read all the Siege books.
Avengers books.
Yeah. So I was Wednesday was a long day. Plus, I had hurt my back the day before, and so it was not a good time. But
man, you are turning into Tom Caters.
It was pretty bizarre. And I up until the very last book, Avengers number one was going to be the pick of the week, but the last book was DC Universe Legacies number one, and that turned out to be the pick of the week for many reasons that I'll get to in a moment, but mostly, this isn't actually going to be a Joe Kubert show, but
yeah, it is.
mostly for the art in this book, which was just gorgeous. It was drawn by Andy Kubert and inked by Joe Kubert, but it was a very heavy ink job. Because most of the detail work was very much in the Joe Kubert style, with a lot of those, you know, he does those like cross hatching lines, and that stuff was all over the page. And this was just a book where every page I turned, I was just like, oh, that's beautiful, that's gorgeous, that is fantastic. This was somebody called this a clinic on that website. This totally was a clinic in storytelling.
Yep.
Not just storytelling, but atmosphere. This was a book dripping in it. Every panel was packed full of detail and background, and every, you know, the general store was full of stuff, and it was just. God, this was a gorgeous book. I was so happy to turn the page on each one of these issues. And they're doing the second issue again, which is going to be great.
To that point with the atmosphere, I mean, you know, the Kuberts did a great job, but I honestly, Brad Anderson on the colors.
Yes. The whole art team was fantastic.
Yeah.
Now to back it up, what DC Universe Legacies is a 10-issue miniseries history of the DC Universe, which they did this similar thing back in 1986 when Crisis on Infinite Earths happened. They had to reestablish the history and tell everybody what the new status quo was, and they're doing it again this time. And I loved the old History of the DC Universe book, even though it was mostly an illustrated textbook. It was just blocks of text with an illustrated page. And it was by George Perez, so it was fine. It was gorgeous. But this is the same sort of concept, but more in a story mode. Here we actually have a story from the late 30s, early 40s, whatever the time period is, where the Justice Society first comes on the scene and how they affect the crime in Metropolis and what that does to the people and what do these superheroes do when they arrive. Some people revere them. Some people hate them. They inspire. They cause anger. And it's basically a sly way of telling the history of the DC Universe. And the whole series is going to go through the whole timeline up until the present day and telling it through a story. Really classically done. This was very much of a throwback book. Lin Wein is the writer, and he's an industry stalwart. He's been writing
old
comics since the 60s. And one thing I thought he did really well here, which is almost a lost art, is he told the complete story in one issue.
Yep.
He told, and it was packed full of stuff. It wasn't decompressed, but it didn't feel overly rushed or full of information. It didn't feel like there was a lot of exposition. It didn't feel like you were being hit over the head with information, but you got a full, complete story, the kind you used to get in the 60s and 70s and 80s before the writing for the trade became in vogue.
And just for those of you who want context on who Len Wein is, I mean, he created Wolverine.
Yep.
So that's something. He edited The Watchmen.
Yep.
He was I think he created Swamp Thing. Probably lots of other things that we're all very used to. So he, you know, he's a player.
He's a pro. And not only did he write the hell out of this issue, but I haven't seen the phrase boy chick since the Marvel books of the late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, I'm sure they were all over those, weren't they?
Oh, they were all over those. The Nova Essentials is full of it. Like, he had one of his friends who called him boy chick. Like, he's like, hey, boy chick. I don't even know what boy chick means. Like,
boy chick's a Yiddish slang word for young man.
Yeah, well, there you go. But yeah, so it was funny.
I thought it was a Thai lady boy.
But yeah, so it was good to see that. That was a good, great bit of a throwback. But I agree with you, God. This was great. And this, it had Street Toughs.
Street Toughs,
which is a DC staple. So,
well, the main device is that this old man's telling you the story from his childhood and in back in the '40s or whatever, whenever this takes place, he was a young street tough, and collecting money for the mob and doing all kinds of stuff that street toughs did in that time when they wore those kind of flat hats and they talked like old 1930s characters. Yeah, basically.
The only thing better than the 30s, 40s DC street toughs are the DC street toughs of the 80s with the no sleeves and the spiked hair and things like that. But yeah, so
I want a street toughs book. Street toughs.
That's a great idea.
What's going on?
Oh my God! There's your story. There's your comic, Connor. Yeah, you just do a comic called Street Toughs, and it's like a four issue like Street Toughs through the years of DC, and you do it for every age.
It's a racial stereotype extravaganza.
Wow. We should edit that out so we can write it and pitch it. Or DC, if you like the idea, we'll write it.
It's going to be one long beep.
Trademark.
Yeah.
Trademark.
Street Toughs.
It doesn't have DC or Marvel. We can take it anywhere.
That's a really good idea. Wow.
Well, and then they can all fight in the end. There could be some sort of time travel, and then we can see who Ultimate Street Toughs is. And then there was also a backup story, a really quick Spectre and Dr. Fate story that was drawn by J.G. Jones. So you had a lot of really high-quality art, not to mention the opening framing story that was drawn by Scott Collins. So you had three really good art teams on this book.
Collins' framing was two pages.
Yes.
Yeah. I hardly say it's a story.
No, I didn't say it was three art teams. You had a framing device in the beginning. And I loved the atmosphere. I love that it created this whole world. I love that it felt it was immersive, I had a panel up on the best panels of the week feature on iFanboy just to show how much detail there was in all these panels that the Kuberts did. And it was just fantastic.
Now, what about the backup J.G. Jones?
It was pretty good. I liked it served the same purpose that the main story did, and it showed you how people reacted to the superheroes arriving. And now, in this story, you've got reporters investigating a case that involved Dr. Fate, and they don't believe that these heroes are real. They think it's mass hysteria. They think it's tricks. It's magic. And this is the whole point of this first issue, is to show what happened when these heroes arrived on the scene and how people reacted to them and what was the world like when they came on. And in the DC universe now, people are used to Superman flying around and people being wearing gaudy costumes and fighting crime. But back then it was like, these are weirdos, and what's the whole deal with these guys? So that's, to me, the whole point of this issue. I really like this a lot. This was really – and I think it was like 60% the art and 40% the story. The story was great, but really it was all about the Kubert art in the main story, which was just gorgeous.
I agree. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't my pick of the week, but it was definitely a treat to have in my stack. That's for sure. So, yeah. But I probably would have gone with Avengers number one personally.
I really liked Avengers 1. I gave it a 5. It was the pick of the week up to the end. It was, to me, the only downside, I think, was number one, Ron and I love the team building. Yep. The team building is always the highlight of any team book, but it was basically the same team. So there was really no team building.
Yeah, we didn't get an announcement. I love the announcement. I just read that. I picked up that trade of I Am an Avenger, which collects all the team announcement issues.
Yes.
And I love it. I blew through it in like 2 days. It was fantastic.
And I think I just wanted I wanted an action scene. The thing is, I love Romita. Romita's fantastic. This book was great. But I think you got to draw to Romita's strengths.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to write to him Romita's strengths. And Romita's strengths are big action scenes.
We touch upon the story a little. I mean, it starts off with Steve Rogers putting together his Avengers team and talking to everybody, and there's a lot of talking in the tower as they're nailing down a team, and then all of a sudden Kang pops in, and I do got to admit I loved we get a full page. And I've been dying to talk about this issue, by the way, to Josh. But we get a full page thing of Kang, and he comes in screaming, "I'm Kang! Listen, Avengers!" And then you turn the page, and just Thor pummels them with Mjolnir, whatever. I can't say that. Mjolnir. And
I want to let's just spend time and let him keep saying it.
Mjolnir. And
That's definitely not it.
Mjolnir.
He can't even say Asgard. So.
Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
Are you kidding?
No.
Are you kidding with this?
No. Mjolnir.
What you gotta understand is that dude will get stuck in a loop like this in his car, and he won't be able to go inside. He'll just be like Mjolnir.
Mike Mignola.
Mike Mignola. I'm crying.
Mike Mjolnir. Oh yeah, it's like that guy who does Hellboy. Like Joel. Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was a great. I mean, that was a brief action thing, but it was unexpected. Yeah. It was fun. But the big thing. So, Josh, did you? I assume you read this.
Yeah, of course I read it.
Okay, and of course everyone's. You liked the little Hawkeye moment with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay. The premise though.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kang comes back. And they, you know, which by the way, I just listened to the Bendis tapes and I heard Bendis talking about this. I love that he's using Bucky with zero context for the Marvel Universe because Bucky doesn't know anybody.
Yes.
And so Bucky not knowing who Kang was, I thought was great. And so back and forth with Kang, what are you doing here? And Kang just says, you know, I have words from the future you need to hear, you know, and he turns.
It's your kids, Marty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's fucking Back to the Future too.
So when they go to the future, they'll find out it actually isn't the kids. It's actually them because that's what happened in Back to the Future.
So, Josh, what did you think? Did you enjoy that? As soon as I read that, I said, oh, my God, Josh.
Well.
Because you like Back to the Future.
I did, and I noticed it immediately, and it sucked me right the hell out of it.
Yeah, I see. I've been meaning to talk to you about that. I don't get that whole sucked me right out of it. I never get sucked out of anything.
Because, in real, you know what the thing is? Yeah. Think about what this is supposed to be. It's supposed to be this big dramatic thing, and they're quoting pop culture movies, which is all well and good, but it's
when
a cheap
gag. When did they quote a pop culture movie?
Well, I mean, that's what it made you think of immediately.
Well, that was not a quote, though. Kang's not quoting Back to the Future. That's different.
I know. Yeah. That's not necessary, but I know, like, listen, and this is maybe too, you know, too much, but like, you know Brian Bendis was thinking that when he wrote it.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You know it. Yeah. And because of that, like, I was just like, really? Right. And so I guess in that way, like, it feels eh.
Listen, in the future, you don't know. Maybe Back to the Future is a huge cult classic that everyone worships like wild stallions.
Or maybe it's a religion thing. It's like the religion of Back to the Future. Yeah.
No, you know, I got to say, I was after really digging sort of the New Avengers from last week, I was a little disappointed in this one.
Really?
There was a lot of people standing around talking.
Yep.
A lot. And it really was the fact where I was like, I thought he was needed to be reeled in with the dialogue a lot more. I thought that I was reading the Steve Rogers stuff, and between the way that Romita was drawing Steve Rogers and the way that he was talking, it didn't feel like him at all. He looks like Johnny Storm from Ultimate Fantastic Four. Like he looks
that's
really
the Romita
young.
Face. That's like the Steve Dillon.
I understand that. And the other half.
I thought like Billy Zabka actually.
Steve Rogers with no mask, by the way, he's getting all sorts of different haircuts by all the different artists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah.
I don't think that this was Romita's best work.
Oh, well, we know it. It's rushed. There's rush
in
a few parts.
That.
Yeah.
And that to me, I really like detracted from it. I thought the bits when, you know, Connor pointed it out right away, the bits where he got to draw Kang,
yep.
The bits where he got to draw Mjolnir attacking Kang.
Mjolnir.
Miller High Life.
How do you say it?
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
That's pretty good.
Right.
Although he sounded like he had a stroke at the end of it. Mjolnir.
Narm.
Narm. Narm. Narm. Narm.
For the rest of my life, he's Narm. By the way, that's the, that guy's a Peter Krause. Is it not Peter? That's the
actor. That
Peter
yeah,
Krause.
Peter Krause. Yeah.
It's also the artist on Irredeemable.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay. Peter Krause, the actor, for the rest of my life is Nate.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Nate. I don't know. I actually gave this like 3 stars. I felt like the voices for everybody needed to be a little different. It was just, I don't know. I wanted it to be bigger or different than it was, I suppose. And
I don't know. I loved it. I love Kang, and I love.
I like that. Yeah. I think when Kang showed up, all of a sudden things got a lot better. It was still after that, like just a ton of exposition.
Yeah.
It was just lots of talking. Also, I am not in any way looking forward to the future story of these Avengers kids who are taken from
the Anex, or whatever it is.
I do not care about that.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So this team, I would be excited about. I like the lineup of it, but...
Yeah, interesting. I think that
Bendis, when you let Bendis be Bendis, it worked really well on some things, but when on other things, I feel like on this one, I just felt like they should have reined him in a little bit, and he should have leaned on his dramatic side a little more than
I feel like we just came out of a lot of action with Siege and
sure.
I still feel like a week later I need a little breathing room and this was
sure
the, this
no
was
that makes
breathing.
Sense yeah well so. Maybe but yeah. I take that this felt like the tone of what would be like a fill-in issue after something so like the last issue rather than the first
I could see this as the zero issue
Yeah, see, that's what I felt too. I felt like the first issue needed a bigger set piece. It needed a bigger dramatic. You know, like the first issue of the original New Avengers had a big action set piece when the breakout happened. I mean, this needed like a big
That's I mean that you know that's all sort of it doesn't really matter what it's numbered, what it is, but I think it has to do with what your expectations are going in.
Plus you're starting a new
status quo.
If I go back and think about what it felt like to read New Avengers number one, I wanted it to feel like that, and it didn't.
And this is nothing to do with Bendis or Romita, but I don't know what Marvel's thinking with the cover. Whew, let's put the logo all the way at the bottom. Like
I bought the white one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's just white.
Nice. But it's like really, like, you know, and I know we've been railing on the Heroic Age, you know, the Photoshop effects looking like shit. But like, you think Marvel of all people know about, you know, like, you know, there are people in my comic store who thought the book was called the Heroic Age.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know. Whatever. Sorry. That's just more of an inside baseball thing. But keeping with the Heroic Age, so also this week a bunch of other Heroic Age books came out, including Atlas number one, which is the new relaunch containing the characters from previously from Agents of Atlas, which is Jeff Parker's baby. He's been writing that since the get-go, and Gabriel Hardman is on the art, and I've been enjoying Gabriel Hardman's sketch work as featured on a lot of the weekly sketch-ups that Josh puts together on iFanboy.com. So I'm like, you know, and a lot of our friends are big fans of Agent of Atlas. I know the guys on 11 o'clock are huge fans of Agents of Atlas. I've never read a single page of Agents of Atlas, so I'm like, a number one issue? Fine, I'll pick it up. And if you had to pick one thing to keep me from reading a Marvel comic, it would be Triathlon. And,
oh, no!
And he's in the goddamn book.
3D. They updated it.
Yeah.
But not good.
Yeah, not good at all. And, like, it's funny. The character that got me to stop reading Kurt Busiek and George Perez's run on Avengers, which made me miss Jeff Johns' run on Avengers, was Triathlon. And
wait, you dropped that?
Oh, I dropped that. Yeah, like two issues in. I was like, I hate this guy. And I dropped it.
The Triune Understanding.
Oh, the Scientology.
Oh, stop!
Yeah, I know. Oh,
I read every issue of that stuff. I couldn't tell you.
I read them all. Yeah.
But that said, Gabe Hardman's art was great. I don't care about these characters at all.
I had read a little bit of Agents of Atlas back in the day, and I got what it was, and I just couldn't get into it. I couldn't care about them for whatever reason.
And the thing is, I like Jeff Parker. I think he's a great guy. I like a lot of the stuff he writes. It's just I just don't care about the – I have no relationship to these characters.
I like some of the stuff he writes, and I think that it's very hit or miss with me. We're going to talk about this in a minute anyway, so I might as well. This was previewed in the Enter the Heroic Age sort of thing.
Yeah.
Really good looking, by the way. Yeah. Really good
looking. Gabe Hardman's great, yeah.
But I read this story, and I was like, yeah, I still don't care about these characters. I get why people do. It's sort of a retro-y, jokey thing, which is just not my thing. But he also wrote the Thunderbolts bit with Luke Cage, which seemed to me like it was a completely different writer.
In Atlas?
In the Enter the Heroic Age.
Oh, okay. So Enter the Heroic Age, one shot, right? Like this, the sampler of all the new books, right? Okay.
That was also written by Jeff Parker, and I thought that I really liked the way he wrote that.
Yeah, the new Thunderbolts might be one to check out.
That, did you see the art in that thing?
Yeah, the art looks great.
Who is that guy?
It looks kind of like Canetti a little bit.
Like a clean, like a Canetti, Ariel Olivetti kind of merch.
Yeah. I was really impressed by that art.
Kevin Walker.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing the Center of the Heroic Age thing had was good art. I mean, you had David Lopez on the Hawkeye Mockingbird stuff. You had McKelvey doing a badass Black Widow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is a lot of fun on art.
I don't know why. I think I bought this to read the Hawkeye story, but I expected to hate it. But I found myself – I actually really enjoyed reading this sampler for some reason.
Yeah. The only weak point was I thought Avengers Academy was a little weak.
Well, the Agents of Atlas was the weak point. I couldn't even finish that one.
Did I have a printing error, or was there a double-page spread in the first story that didn't work?
I don't even remember.
When it very ended, the Avengers Academy one ended, and it feels like they printed the page order wrong.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. That's weird, yeah.
Yeah.
But this sampler was you know, pretty good. Three of the stories were good. The Black Widow, the Hawkeye, and Thunderbolts. But the first two, I know I don't need to buy Avengers Academy, and I just know I don't feel anything for Agents of Atlas. So
yeah, the characters in Avengers Academy are rough. I'll be honest with you. This look by the looks of it, I'm like, oh, he turns into dinosaur parts. Awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe I'm jaded. Who knows? Anyway, all right.
I thought Kelly Sue did a really nice job in the Black Widow story. I thought that was good. I'm going to call her by that name. I don't know why. That's sort of patronizing.
It looked good.
No, it looked good. And also, I thought that McKelvey actually really stretched his.
It was one really dynamic panel in it when she got punched by the chick. I was like, yep. Well, that's, yes. That's very
McKelvey. Really stretched because I would say one of the weak points I think that McKelvey has had is that he relies too much on sort of two shots,
yep.
and heads and shoulders and stuff like that. But there was some action stuff in here where he really stretched. There's a thing where the girl is laying on the ground.
She kicks up,
foreground, and then she kicks after that. Really, just nice work in there. So I like seeing that improvement come out of him. Definitely, yeah,
it was good.
In the action stuff. I thought the Hawkeye part, was really good.
We know. I mean, it's McCann and Lopez. We know that's going to be good. So,
yep.
Oh, there's a very specific New York joke in it. I wonder who else was going to get.
Which one is that?
About driving across a bridge to fight hipsters.
Oh right, yeah.
Which I laughed because it's funny, but
Clint talks a little bit much like in Sex and the City, just a little bit. I know Jim. Yeah. So.
No, it's funny. It was good. That was the best story in the whole thing.
Yeah but really good action.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he here's a guy who's improved just since the last story.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And the action pieces in this were really nice.
I'm really looking forward to that series a lot.
Yeah.
And then the Thunderbolts was a big surprise because I've hated Thunderbolts for a really long time.
I think you're gonna like it again.
Wow, that's good. And and the fact that it was also Jeff Parker really surprised me.
Yeah.
Moving on. To a book that I selected.
Yes.
American Vampire 3. Just like Walking Dead, you know, every once in a while something will come along and rip your expectations of the genre that is being pounded into the dust.
This book is great.
This book is so great.
Yes.
And also, to be honest, it's I guess a little bit surprising that the first half, the Scott Snyder written portion, is much, much more interesting and well done than the Stephen King written portion.
Although I think the Stephen King portion is coming on.
It is,
I think it's coming on strong in the first couple issues.
I think that he's got some storytelling issues with the craft of putting together a story for a comic book. I think it's a little oblique. I think he's just being a little bit too non-linear, I guess. Mm. I have a little hard time following it. That being said, just Raphael Albuquerque, I mean, people who didn't know him before, this guy, he's amazing.
Yes.
He's just amazing. This is a gorgeous book. The fact he's doing the book in two different styles, in the two different parts, I find it really interesting and fun. I like that there's a different kind of vampire and there's a whole thing going on.
And it's 40 pages, and he's doing this monthly.
And it takes place.
How's he doing that?
It takes place in the 20s.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love the time period. I love that it's different. It's a really fun book. This is my pick of the week. So I clicked it as that, and it just really impressed. This is the only thing that I gave 5 stars this week, and what a surprise! Because I mean, I just didn't. I was like, oh, maybe it'll be good, but I really didn't expect to stick with it or want to stick with it. It's been very good, so it's not too late for people to go pick it up.
Yeah,
I love the conflict between the old European stuffy vampires and the new sort of roguish American vampires who have different skills and abilities and have it.
Like,
it's a great contrast because it's something you've never really seen before. You know, it's like. The culture of vampires. And I'm not sick of things. People complain about vampires. I'm not sick of vampires. There are no, you know, I read 80 superhero books. I consume two or three vampire stories.
Well, you get a lot of vampires in Marvel coming up, so get ready for that.
So, I mean, big, you know, big deal. I watch True Blood. I read American Vampires. I'm not too upset.
You are a huge Twilight fan. People don't know that Connor, like, opening
last year
day.
Comic-Con, yeah. Oh, yeah. My God.
He was at the panel. He was there.
Yeah. We couldn't. It was funny because you might have noticed that maybe he wasn't in as many of the interviews.
Yeah, because he was in line for the panel.
He was in that line.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you even say the words Rob Patton, and I won't finish it.
Yeah.
Oh!
If you say that to Connor, he just...
Yeah. You can't see that, but I'm fanning my own face with my hand.
Yeah.
He is totally team
moist.
Vapors.
What's the character's name? Edward.
No,
come on. Get it right. I made you a t-shirt.
I know you made me a t-shirt. I know. I'm going to wear it. I'll wear it.
That if he saw the other guy, the werewolf guy, whose name?
Don't even talk about it.
Sorry. All right, he would kick it square in the balls.
Nards. Wolfman's got nards.
Does. I don't know.
Anyways,
that guy's got a smooth face.
So American Vampire is a good time to jump on. It's also a great time to jump on to the Marvel books of the Heroic Age. And where better to jump on for your comic books than Discount Comic Book Service, who are sponsoring this episode. We thank them for that. At DCBS, you can get up to 75% off some books there. They've got monthly specials all the time. They discount 40% off all the major publishers, so you never pay in full price. Flat rate shipping of $5.95 on all U.S.-based orders, domestic orders. So order as much as you want. It's all going to cost the same to ship it, so that's great. You can get anything that's in the previews catalog, so it's just like shopping at a regular comic book store. In fact, it's better because they've also got over 5,400 trade paperbacks in stock.
Wow. They must have expanded.
So
that's 9,000.
It's 9,000, correct. Up to over 9,000 trades in stock. So you're getting your weekly or monthly issues. They'll ship it to you on whatever schedule you want. You can get your books. It's awesome. You can go to dcbservice.com. You can track all your orders online there. So Discount Comic Book Service, check it out, dcbservice.com.
Awesome. Next up, we were talking about Invincible Iron Man for the number 26.
No, we're not. I dropped it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You dropped it, so we're no longer talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the new rule. Oh, I didn't. You didn't get the memo.
But Josh, you dropped it.
Yeah, I thought you.
And
dropped
I
it.
Don't read it. So
yeah.
Well, after 25 came out, so many people were like, bleh, bleh, oh, about it. I was like, fine, I'll pick up 25, and I picked up 25, and it was okay. Apparently, that Detroit Steel thing wasn't a joke. I was because that news came out on April 1st, and I remember I posted it, and I was like, this has got to
like,
be.
This is a joke. Yeah.
But then I was like. It wasn't. So I picked up 25, and 25 was okay. I get 26 was so much talking. I mean, literally, talk, explain. Neither of you have this in front of you, but it's really literally heads and talking. And I guess the end was kind of interesting, but there was so much talking, and I hate the art. I hate it.
Yeah.
Are you back off it then?
I don't. I'm kind of curious, but I was really not happy with this issue because I'm going to show. Like, I'll show it to you guys. Like, it's just heads upon heads, and upon talking, and it's all this like introspective Tony talking about and stuff, and it's movie Tony. It's not Marvel Tony. Yeah. I know that.
Oh, okay. So I was thinking movie tone, Fox movie.
It
tone.
Just it feels.
Oh. It news feels from like news from Newark.
The latest stock industries.
He's writing Robert Downey Jr. But
that's the point of the book, isn't it? I mean, that's the whole thing.
They launched
it to capitalize on the film,
and that totally makes sense. It just it doesn't feel like it's in sync with the Iron Man that's going on in the other books.
Yeah.
But the art I really don't like.
Yeah. So you're off of it.
I don't know. I'm not.
Iron Man is your abusive drunken boyfriend, Josh,
which is appropriate.
It is. It totally is. And there was just this whole thing about there was this like thing in the past that showed him firing some guy really meanly. And I was like, are we going to make up our mind about who Tony Stark is? Like, is he an asshole?
That's a good point because I was still uncomfortable reading Avengers.
In the scenes
with him and Steve, I was like, he's still the guy that caused all the trouble.
No, one of the things with the Avengers was that he seemed in that. Like he remembered being around for all of it.
Yeah, I thought he was supposed to. Wasn't this because of my wife?
But in that one, in Avengers, he was the same Tony, not the rebooted Tony who didn't remember doing all that stuff. And I can't tell if he regrets it or think it's good. Or like he acted like he's like, oh, I was such an asshole. And I was like, well, were you? Are you that bad? Like, I don't know. There's like this identity crisis going on with Tony. And I can't, I need there to be somebody to streamline it all because I don't feel like anybody's writing the same Tony Stark in
it. I think you should just drop it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, everybody loves this book, and I went back, and I'm giving it a try, and I can see things I like about it. There's like, issues that I like, but...
Okay, here's the deal. If you're not going to drop it, then you have to commit to it for a year.
No.
Sorry, no, two choices. That's it.
Oh, baby, I love you. I hate you because I love you.
Exactly. No, baby, come back. Anyway.
Well, there you go. Anyway, that was supposed to be short.
I just love you so much, I get angry.
So Zatanna number 1 came out this week by Paul Dini, and it made me realize that there – and this is personal for me because I live here. But there is – have you noticed there's a startling number of comic books taking place in San Francisco now?
There's more and more, definitely.
It's getting really weird. It's getting really weird. But anyway, but that's
it started around the time that you moved there.
I know,
it?
Which is really weird. I'm wondering what happens when I move to Duluth.
Did you guys read this?
Yeah, no. I read it.
Paul Dini's, see, the thing people don't realize about Paul Dini is he's a little bit pervy. He's a little bit pervy, and I like him. I like about
it. I like it. So, I like he looks it. He's so, a little pervy, and I like it.
He's so unassuming. You know, beat him, and he just looks like a normal dude with glasses, but he's pervy.
Yeah.
As like evidenced by the opening shot of Zatanna all trussled up and gagged, and then later on there's a demon S&M club.
Yep.
It's really good, though.
No, I liked it. I thought the art was good. I really did enjoy it. I took a chance on it because it's Paul, and he used to write for us, and I really like his work, and I want to support it. And I haven't been reading Streets of Gotham and all that stuff like that, but I kind of like Zatanna. My problem with it is that reading Zatanna hurts my head because I can't do the backwards reading.
Did you know that if you were to say my last name backwards, it would be Naganalf?
Okay, but the problem is that when I see it on the page, I need to know what it says. So I need to figure out what it says, and it hurts my head.
I can see that. That'll slow you down. Yeah. I just don't care about Zatanna.
Yeah. Well,
she's a great character. She's a really great character. She's unlike every other DC character. She's a performer who's kind of bemused superhero. She does it because it's kind of fun, but really she just likes being a magician.
Yeah.
And I like that about her a lot. This is a really – and there's Stefan Rau, who's a French artist. He did a lot of covers for DC. And I think this is his first interior work that I've seen from him. And it was
really good. Really good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
Battlefield's Firefly, Josh, ended brutally.
Quite. It's not a game. I'm not entirely sure how it ended. I got a little confused near the end of it.
Yeah, there was a bit of a storytelling issue, but it seemed to me like the tanks shot each other up, and then the other tank shot the church, and it collapsed on top of the other tank.
The one tank was hiding in the church.
Yeah.
Or the church.
Well, one tank seemed to shoot the other tank, and the other tank seemed to shoot the church, and the church just caused the whole church to collapse. That's what
I
it seemed like.
The Germans were hiding inside the church. The Geordi... is that an offensive term? I don't know. But he figured out that they were in there, so he commanded them to shoot through the church. So they did. Then they saw the tiger, King Tiger, was pointed at them. So the King Tiger shot them, and then they shot back at him, and then everybody died. End of story.
Well, not the Geordi. He's alive.
No. He was burned to a crisp, and he took his final revenge on the guy with a really, really long title.
Junior. Lieutenant. So yeah, I thought that was really good. I thought it did the rare feat of making the first series better.
No, it really did. It improved on it. I like that a lot. It was very good. But it did get confusing at the end, which was kind of a letdown at the very last second of it.
A little bit, yeah. The last page was fantastic. So
it was. Now on the script here it says Ex Machina 40. I'd be very happy to talk about that. It's one of my favorite issues ever.
But sadly is Ex Machina number 49.
Wow.
There's your mistake.
There's your mistake. Two thoughts on this book. One, the art was better than last issue.
But not good.
I think Tony's changing his style. I think that's what's happening.
You know what? You don't do that three issues from the end of...
My other question is, when is the last issue? Can we just kill it?
Next one.
Is the next one? Okay, because I just want it to be over. This is like the extra season of the TV show that should have ended.
This is Gilmore Girls season six or seven. Like story wise, I'm fine, but I think that we took too much of a break off in the middle.
Yep. Although I do gotta admit, the moment Mitchell put on the Great Machine, that page of him flying was beautiful. Was great. I mean, Tony can still do it.
You're right. He can, and it's fine. But this style doesn't bother me. The fact is that he changed styles. It's one book and one artist. I just feel like there needs to be a visual continuity.
Well, and my other thing is that I feel like he gets lazy on the boring pages.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, a little bit. And
the page in the bathroom particularly.
Uh-huh.
Which was just like, whoa, really? But this is the conclusion to the story arc. And honestly, it was a bit of an anticlimactic kind of like quick fight. And then apparently the gun can open up the portal to hell or a dimension or something.
Where did this book go since I've moved?
Oh, dude, it's crazy! It's crazy.
Yeah, the thing is, I just recently read through the first deluxe hardcover of it.
Oh, so good!
And it was amazingly good. Yeah. And I do like my favorite part of this though is the police commissioner woman who's been saying all along, "You ever touch that again, you're fucked."
And
she's following through on it, and there's only one issue to go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, and we're done.
It's going to end with him going to jail.
All I know is that, I miss Brian K. Vaughan writing comic books a lot. Yeah. I mean, we are sorry for having him be. I just don't like that Tony changed the style up whoever did it, but like it doesn't look the same. That's not good.
I'm with you. Are you guys still reading Joe the Barbarian?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
This is the best issue since the first one.
Oh, totally agreed. You took the words out of my mouth. You took the words right out of my mouth. Sorry. Wow, I just sang Meatloaf.
Yikes.
That was for Augie. Anyway, so this is the best issue since the first issue.
Yes, it was fantastic.
It had action. It like the past couple issues have been kind of meandering and kind of that's why we haven't talked about it. They haven't been bad, but they haven't been as good. This was like, oh yeah, this is what we're talking about. This is what we knew was going to win that first issue. What it was going to be? What it could
be? The last couple issues have had me thinking, wow, maybe I should have read this in trade because I felt like it'd be really much better experience. But this issue, I was glad I was reading in an issue. This was fantastic.
This was great.
There's a scene in this issue where it was tense.
Yep.
And you're turning the pages, you know, sort of scared
to
see what's going to happen next. And there was some fantastic art. The double-page spread of the dog attacking.
In widescreen?
Yes.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, it was so good. Yeah, so great stuff. So I'm really excited to see this one finish up. It's shipping, like, less than a monthly, it feels like.
It seems like it's always out.
Yeah, it's crazy, which is awesome. So, cool. So those are the books that came out this week that we dug. But you all went to ifanboy.com/comics, and you did your pull lists, and you enjoyed some comics and reviewed some. So we're going to highlight some of them here. And I'm stuffed up, so someone else read the first one.
I got it. Knock, big letters, capital. I read Legion of Superheroes number 1, gave the story a 4 out of 5 and the art a 4 out of 5. Paul Levitz, right?
Paul Levitz wrote it. Yep, yeah. And Yildiray Sinyar from Dynamo 5 fame. Yeah.
Ooh, he's good.
He's really good.
He's real good. Pick of the week percentage, a high one, 8.2% at the time of this recording. The entire review is Losh, or Legion of Superheroes, is not familiar ground for me, but I figure it isn't really for most people, so who cares? I did read Supergirl and Legion of Superheroes, which I thought was great. These Legionnaires seem real grown up to me. The spirit of youth vibe wasn't there, but I'm cool with that. I can't believe they mentioned Flashpoint in this. What a damn tease, you DC jerks. Just kidding. I do like where the story is going. I cower at the thought of time travel again. But did Mike Romo write this? But hey, if there are Green Lanterns involved and cool aliens, then I just might grow a pair. Whoa. Then I might grow a pair. Okay. I would say that this is a good jumping on point, but as I didn't feel lost in any way. One question, though, is this the future of the main DC universe?
Yes.
As opposed to a future.
Right.
It's the future of the DC universe.
Did you guys pick this up?
Yes.
I picked it up because I was like, I'll give it a shot. I made it maybe 3 pages, and I'm just like, I can't do it. I didn't even finish reading it.
I don't like the Legion.
Well, yeah, but
three pages was one scene of a guy getting tortured.
No, maybe I made it a little. I made it when the guy with the long hair came in. I made it to that scene.
Ultra Boy.
Yeah. I made it when Ultra Boy and the other guy came in. I was just like, I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I have no connection to them. I can't do it. I want to support Paul Levitz. I can't do it.
Paul Levitz needs a new pair of shoes.
I
liked it. I didn't love it. I gave it 3 stars. I liked it enough to check it out the next issue.
The art looked great. I flipped through.
I'm not a Legion person at all. I don't really know much about the Legion beyond what we've read in the last couple of years. And this actually is built off of the story that Geoff Johns did with Superman and Action Comics, and built off of Legion of Three Worlds. So in that sense, I kind of knew the backstory. Yeah, it was a little confusing, but they gave each Legionnaire had a little bio when they showed up. So that was helpful.
There were just so many words.
It was a lot of words.
I can't get behind someone named Ultra Boy.
It's no sillier than Superman or Batman. It's just
The names are the problem. I just don't know who they are. I don't know their powers. I don't know. I don't know the relationships. I feel like it. Like now, I know what all you people feel like when you say you can't pick up the X-Men. Now I know. So, but Sinar's art was amazing. So,
and the art was good. I liked it enough to try the next one. I didn't hate it.
Yeah,
I'm not a Legion person. Akamu reviewed Batman Streets of Gotham 12. He gave a story a 4 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5, and 0.6% of you made the pick of the week. And Akamu reviews every book every week.
That's why you hear him a lot, because he's a yeoman.
Yep.
And this is Akamu's entire review. Classic Dini Batman, a new villain, a return of a forgettable villain who Dini makes interesting, a cheap gimmick with a twist, crocodiles, possibly a redemption, plus a little epilogue to the previous Damian's Mr. Zaz abuse story arc. I go back and forth on whether or not I like Gwyn's art, but it's solid here and speaks well to the story. It is, however, completely outclassed by Kudransky's art on the Manhunter backup, which has consistently been the strongest of DC's backup stories. I gave the 5 for art and mostly for Kudransky, and I don't agree there. I like Gwyn's art a lot. I didn't like the art at all in the backup story. He's the new guy. I barely could get through it.
Different strokes.
Yep. This was great. Paul Dini's been on a roll with this book in the last couple of issues. He's been introducing lots of wacky, interesting, scary concepts into the DC universe. And previously I mentioned before, he had a character called the Broker who finds hideouts for supervillains.
Yep.
And this is a character called the Carpenter who actually builds all the death traps. and all the stuff in the hideouts. So she works with the broker.
Nice.
And in this one, she's building a hideout for this Hollywood villain called the Director.
I like all the thes.
Yeah, and it was fun because it was all in her head. So she's narrating the story, and she's like, you know, this guy's an idiot. This trap's never going to work. You know, this is, you know, I'm glad I got the money up in front. Batman's going to kick his ass. Like, it's just. It's that Dini sort of twisted wit that he brings to all of his stories when he's, you know, on fire in the Batman stuff. That was really, really nice.
Cool.
And a nice cliffhanger. So it's a really, really fun book. Right. Dini's been killing it since he's been back regular.
Well, it's good to hear. So go to ifanboy.com/comics. You can do your pull list and come back and rate and review your books, and you might get a review on the show.
We've been getting – I've gotten a couple questions in email lately, but people can't figure out how to rate reviews. You go to the where it says Your Comics after you're logged in on the main page, just under where it says iFanboy at the top, and then there you'll get the option to write a review or, you know, do all that stuff. So it's the little Your Comics button.
And we can work on making that easier.
We're going to work on making that easier, but in the meantime, that's how it works. Don't feel bad. I couldn't find it at first either.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Triptych Books. They are an independent comic book publisher, and here's how this works. They are working on their first series, Trigger Men. And what they want to do is they're using something called Kickstarter, and that means that what you do is you go in and you can pre-order a copy of the first issue, and $5 from you gets you a copy of the comic book when it comes out and helps it get started. So basically you are pre-funding, you were pre-ordering a book for it to help it get started, and they're supporting us, so why don't you go support them? So for more information, go to www.triptychbooks.com. That's TRIPTRYCH, or I'm sorry.
Whoa, that's
oh,
not
hey, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, here it goes. TRIPTYCH books.com.
Yes, and there'll be a link in the show notes. Go to ifanboy.com and you can do that. So, yeah. Cool.
Well, it's the last week of the month, which means.
It's not. Is it the last week of the month? Jesus, no, we got one more week. Oh, God, you almost gave me a heart attack.
It's the end of the month.
Yeah.
Which means it's time for the book of the month because we.
The rent!
Josh, you had Book of the Month for May. What was it?
I have the Book of the Month for May. The Book of the Month for May, as you may have noticed on the site, is Dong Zhuai, and that is how to pronounce it. I checked. By Joe Kubert.
And this is our last feature of Joe Kubert month on iFanboy.
Yeah. Well, it was Dong Zhuai, Vietnam 1965 was the whole title.
You're right. I don't have it in front of me. There it is. I can do this, though, because I spent a lot of time with the book. Basically, this story takes place in 1965. And this is, for those of you who know the history, the war actually was never called a war, hadn't broken out officially. And this is about a special group, an A-team, literally an A-team, that were in the backcountry. And their orders were to basically not engage the enemy unless absolutely, you know, unless fired upon, so we were only sort of advisors at that point. So they were the when I say we, I mean the United States, the U.S. This group of soldiers were going from village to village, and they were actually doing support kind of stuff. They were talking to local village leaders and things like that. And the whole first part of the books is they're sort of going and meeting people and learning about their customs, and it's kind of weird and strange. But you know, this book is a book that's about the U.S. American soldier as a hero, as something to be looked up to, and if you get behind that and you get behind this book, then the whole thing's gonna flow. Basically, what happens is that they get attacked, and there's this big thing, you know, big firefight, and all sorts of stuff happens, and some guys escape, some guys don't, and it's about, you know, soldiers. In that area, what they're trained to do, what they're trained to act like, how they compose themselves, the bravery they show under the face of that, you know, extraordinary fear, extraordinary pressure, things like that. And it's just one of those little stories that come from a war that people sort of lose track of in the overall scope of the war, especially in a war like Vietnam, which is you know, so controversial even to this day. You know, these are guys, you know, in the army who. And you can hear when you read it, you can not hear, but you can sense the admiration that Kubert has for these soldiers and soldiers like them. It is for the most part a true story. The story goes. By the way, I did a conversation earlier in the month, Talksplode, with Mr. Kubert, and he explains a lot of this stuff about how it came from. But basically, it was a true story, but he didn't use the names of the people in it for various reasons. That all being said,
you mentioned him. Let's talk about the art.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That all being said, to be completely honest, the reason to check this book out is 198%, which is not possible, is the art. The art is the first thing you're going to notice right away is that this doesn't look like a traditional comic book. There's no panel borders per se. There's no word balloons. It's all and there's no ink or color. It's all done in pencils, roughly.
I love how raw it is. It's so raw. It's just like it's like almost like looking at a sketchbook.
Yeah, his style as it's evolved where he's at right now really lends itself to that raw, sketchy kind of thing. And it's amazing that he's doing such great work now as old as he is. I mean,
he's 83. He's 83, and he's doing work that is as good as it's ever been. He's as good as ever. He has not lost a single step.
Yep.
I mean, not he hasn't lost a millimeter. And I mean, maybe he's slower. I don't really know. But the book
definitely
is
slower.
It takes him longer. Yeah. I mean, like that. Yeah, but
the book is beautiful. But the thing is, he didn't let that stop him from doing A-level top notch work.
Yeah.
Well, I love that it doesn't. I mean, you mentioned it doesn't look like a comic. There's no panel borders. It looks like he just, you know, it's an innovative way of doing a page without breaking it up into panels. He makes the art the panel.
Yep.
And also, you know, most comics obliterate the art in terms of they make it a complete package. The pencils get inked, the inks get colored, and it's supposed to look like a finished page. Here, it looks like art. You see every stroke of the pencil. You see every smudge. It looks like he just drew it all and handed you the page. It's not like polished, and that's great.
That's one of the beautiful things about looking at it, is that you're seeing the raw art. There's nothing is covered up. There's no mistakes. The erased lines are still visible.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's art in its purest, rawest form by a guy who has been doing comics since he was 13 years old professionally.
Just before any of us were ever born.
It's amazing.
And our
times
parents
two. Yeah. Times three for a lot of people. And it's all right there. Now, the reason that he said when I spoke, because I asked him, I was like, well, why did you go with the pencils and not sort of the finished whole deal? And he said that he was going for the effect of having it be a guy who was drawing it, you know, while he was there, sort of a combat cartoonist. So it has that sort of sense of immediacy that you would be sort of capturing the stuff as it was happening, although that would be awkward. Hold on. Hold still.
Can you not move? Just hold your guts a little bit longer. Okay.
This is the second Vietnam themed book of the month this year.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Wow. We'll never forget.
Really, if you go get a chance to read my book of the month review, it's actually a review that I was really proud of.
Yeah.
Because I thought
very well done. And Joe really appreciated it, if I remember.
It was actually, it's so nice. I mean, like, he's one of those guys in, like, he writes a note.
How amazing is that? That he did this book. B, that you got to interview Joe Kubert. C, that he read the review, appreciated it, and let you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was floating around that week.
Yeah.
That was the best thing that's happened to me in the last month, except for my baby smiling a lot. But
they're different things. I mean,
they are very different things. Yeah. But it was a really cool thing. Like, it was like,
can your baby draw like that? Really?
Maybe we should put a pen in his hand.
Once he can hold a pen, we don't know. Is the point. But seriously, this is a guy who's taught half of the comic industry how to make comic books.
Yep.
He's been around forever, and he's still doing just top-notch work, as Connor talked about earlier, and I did now. And it's worth looking at. It's worth experiencing it and watching how this guy does it. You may have seen he did some work in Wednesday Comics recently.
Yeah,
Talk about prolific for 83. He did the inks, the heavy inks on these two issues of Legacy, which we talked about. He did this graphic novel. He just did that. He did the Wednesday Comics thing, and he did the other one we talked about a while back. What was that? The Sergeant Rock book. I mean,
yep.
Like, this is just he's
crazy. He's amazing. Yeah.
So Dong Zhuai, Vietnam, 1965. It's original hardcover from Vertigo. No, DC. Oh. Just great. Take a look at it. Cool. Read the review. Just look. You can see the art samples on there, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
Go to ifanboy.com. It's right up at the top. You can find a link there. So very cool. Good job, Josh. And you can probably get it at Amazon, in stock trades, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a new book, so it's going to be out there. Cool. On to the emails. Our first email comes from Nicholas S. from New Jersey, and I'm going to try to read it through my stuffed nose. How did I get a cold in May? That's what I want to know.
Allergies.
I'm not allergic. Allergic.
I'm not allergic.
Know. I can't talk for some of Mjolnir.
Mjolnir allergies.
Okay, so Nicholas from New Jersey writes, I was wondering what you guys think about Captain America becoming the new top cop of the Marvel Universe, especially Connor, because I know he's a big Cap fan, and it's thanks to him that I read Project Rebirth, one of my personal favorite comics ever.
I read Project Rebirth. So whatever.
I'm sick.
he wrote it in the present tense.
He did. Threw me off.
So, did you guys talk about this? I haven't.
Haven't talked about it. Oh. Here's the thing. I like Cap running S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it's great. I think it's natural. My two questions, which I'm sure are going to be answered, are what about Nick Fury? And I hate the term top cop, and I wish they'd stop using it.
Why are they all pissed at Nick Fury? I don't understand.
Yeah, a Secret War, man. See, I was playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 the other night, and I was like, oh, shit, Secret War. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. So that's why they're pissed at him? That's why nobody likes him? That's why they wanted him to get out at the end of the siege? They're like, screw off, Nick Fury?
Go screw Nick Fury. And he was like, cool, I talk like that.
They'll take Tony back, but not Nick Fury?
Right, yeah. But what do you think, Connor?
I want him to be Cap. I mean, yeah, I'll read the stories and it'll be interesting. I'll watch Billy Zabka, Captain America, Steve Rogers running around running S.H.I.E.L.D. But, you know, I want him to be Cap. Yeah. I didn't like him handing over the S.H.I.E.L.D. in the siege. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, because you gotta have two.
It's all been a device. They want to keep Bucky Cap, so the motivations don't make any sense to me.
Yeah. You feel like it'd make more sense to. You know, I'm also a big Cap fan. I mean, you know, not to sell myself short, but I don't mind it so far.
Fine now, but not too long.
I'm guessing I will mind it.
Well, I think you'll mind it. I think you'll mind it a couple of months in after that. After you read Secret Avengers and have to deal with that costume for a few months. The Fighting American hybrid. That's not Fighting American because we don't have the rights to that.
No. Yeah. It's why not pay Joe Simon and more, Jack Kirby's estate for something else?
Exactly. Yeah.
Why not pay them more?
And look forward to all the great Steve Rogers hair conversations we can have.
I mean. I don't mind it. It's kind of interesting. I think that it's another one of the characters is going to be in 14 different books. Then there needs to be some streamlining of what it is he actually acts like.
Yep.
Everybody's doing their own thing with him right now, the same as Tony Stark, and it's a little off-putting. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I think it could be interesting. I really like him as a character. I liked the setup of him going, I want to do this, and I want to do this my way. If you're going to hand the keys of everything to somebody – it makes absolute sense that Steve Rogers is the person that you hand them to because you went from handing them to Norman Osborn.
Yep.
And now, like, well, who's the person who you trust? Who's the guy who is not going to drop this ball? And it's Steve Rogers.
Yep.
You can't fault that logic at all. But we'll have to see what happens.
I just hate the term top cop.
Well, that's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, I know. All right, so if you have a question or you want to chime in on this debate, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or you can call our voicemail line, and we're going to listen to some voicemails up. And our first one's got a very good question about comics of the past.
Hi, Fanboy. It's Luke from Denver. So I was just sitting and reading Next Wave, Agents of Hate, and thinking, this was awesome. Why did it get canceled? And I was thinking, I like making lists. So what are the best canceled comics of the past 10 years? Thanks. Bye.
That's a good question. I don't think we've been asked that question. I'm sure we could all list off like a bunch of comics right away, and then as we started thinking about it, go forever.
Yeah, probably.
Ron, what do you got?
I don't want to start. Connor, you go first.
Gotham Central comes to mind. That's one that we love forever. Yeah. It's a no-brainer. It was definitely canceled.
Then Checkmate, was that?
You mean canceled versus ended?
Well,
like Alias ended, it didn't get canceled.
No, he's talking about canceled.
Like canceled before its time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Gotham Central.
Gotham Central for sure.
Josh?
First thing that comes to mind is Wildcats 3.0.
Yeah.
Joe Casey never got to finish that story.
Yeah.
Which it's like literally just left hanging out there.
And it's in his head. We should ask him.
It's not the same. Yeah, I mean, you tell me.
I bet you could act it out pretty awesome.
And then the other one that comes to mind is a little story called Dead Enders.
Yeah.
That came out from Vertigo by Ed Brubaker.
So long ago. That was like our new rebirth time in comics. I remember that.
But it was good, and we never got to see the end of it.
Yeah. Most recently, Captain Britain, obviously. I want to go back into the vault, and I don't know if it's 10 years. It might just be on the outskirts of 10 years, but there was a DC title called Young Heroes in Love that I adore.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Peter
remember
David?
That.
No.
That's Young Justice.
Young Justice, yeah. Young Heroes in Love, I don't even remember who wrote it or drew it. The art was totally – I'm going to look it up now. It was – so much fun. It was just about a bunch of heroes, and they were just trying to, they had no ties to the DC universe. They were like all new characters. I got it. It was right when I started tinkering with DC, and I got into it in the first issue, and it was published from 97 to 98, and it was great. It was really good. Dan Raspler wrote it, and Dev Madan did the art.
I totally remember that book. I totally bought that book.
Yeah. Off-Ramp, Monster Girl, Bonfire, Thunderhead, Hard Drive, Frostbite, Junior, Zip Kid. Like, and it was the whole premise. It was an 18. It ran 18 issues. It had a millionth issue. Remember that?
Yeah. God.
And the whole premise was, you know, a bunch of, you know, a young group of heroes that were, you know, that were just thrown together. They don't really want to work together. They weren't ready to deal working together. And there was a lot of soap opera-y kind of tones. That's why I liked it. But it was just fun. And it kind of reminded me of an early Noble Causes, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. It was all about the relationships. It was very much soap opera.
Yep, very much.
Literal soap opera. Yeah.
So I missed that title. So, yeah, I'm sure we could think of a ton more. Maybe we'll do it on a video show sometime. That'd be fun. So.
Yeah.
That sounds research intensive.
Yes, it does. That sounds like work. all right, our next voicemail has got a question that's been on Connor's mind for years.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello, this is Sam from Wisconsin, and I have a bit of a silly question to ask you. You guys don't have to answer this or not, but I thought, what the hey. I'm just curious, if you could do it, what character would you possibly date or go out with once in the comic book universe? Okay. All right. Thanks very much. Love the show. Bye-bye.
I feel like there's two categories of date or just go out with once.
Exactly.
Really, nope. That's a wide...
If you only go out with them once, is there a reason? Does it go badly?
Who do you want to go on a bad date with? I'm like, well, I don't know, Gorgon.
Or do you have the one night stand that you're never going to see each other again? Or
You decide to take your shot with Ms. Marvel.
I go out with Hot Girl once.
Yeah, like Spider Woman gets really drunk, and you know she'll probably sleep with you, but then you won't have another date. So,
who's a real dirty girl?
This is creepy. this is now creepy.
Yeah. We're talking
Black Widow. Obviously,
exactly. Yeah,
you're gonna get a chance of closing that deal.
Well, this is character. God,
that's the worst thing I've ever said in my life.
That really is bad. This is favorite. What character would you want to date? So it's not my overarching anybody Jamie McKelvey draws, because he draws the girls I want to date. But that's not characters. So yeah.
Come on, you know it's Kitty Pryde.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, I want the long term relationship with Kitty. Yeah.
This is really creepy.
Josh, come on.
There was just like an air of sincerity in that.
I got introspective there, and I thought about my life with
Kitty. It's uncomfortable. Like, and I want everybody to realize he's talking about a cartoon.
Well, keep in mind, like, she knows computers.
Oh my God.
Not real.
She's feisty.
Oh God, he's not kidding. He has this.
She's a brunette. You know, she cut it when Kitty had her hair cut short. That would you put in the ponytail in Astonishing?
Are we out of time? Are we running out of time? Who's got the clock?
Connor?
Yeah.
Josh?
I mean, for one thing, you know that Jessica Jones is willing to go with all three. Anyway.
Oh.
I'm trying to think. It always depends on who's drawing them.
Oh, God.
No, you're like, every once in a while, like, for whatever reason, like, boy, they did a really good job with Spider-Woman over the past few years, didn't they?
That's creepy. Connor?
I came back for this conversation.
This is great. Dude, this is your thing.
My thing? I don't know.
Come on, dial back to when you're 15 or 13.
Yeah, Barbara Gordon. Why not? I'm trying to look through my books. You know, it'd be a lot of fun to go out with Lady Blackhawk.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a hard drinking, 1940s sassy. Yeah, that'd be awesome, I think.
All right, so call our voicemail line, 1-888-FANBOYS, 1-888-326-2697. The creepier the question, the better.
I feel shame. I feel lots of shame.
And
right,
you'll notice that both Sam and Luke said who they were, where they were from, and they were under 30 seconds. That's what we liked the most. So call the voicemail line, 1-888-FANBOYS.
Hey, if you're listening to the show or any of our other mini shows, our Talksplodes, our Booksplodes, our Don't Miss, our video show, all kinds of things, every week you might find yourself wondering, how can I help support these guys who provide me so many free hours of entertainment? It's so much of it, and it's free, and we make your comic experience better, hopefully. How can I support these guys? Well, you can very easily, you go to ifanboy.com, you can click on our banners with our advertisers. They support us, so you support them. That helps. That takes you no effort whatsoever. You can go to ifanboy.com/Amazon if you're going to make your Amazon purchases. Click on the Powered by Amazon button. It'll take you to Amazon proper, and anything you buy there will help us out with no cost to you whatsoever. And millions of people use Amazon. So
and no cost and a lot of savings.
Yes, that's true. And no downside in that one. I even made that my shortcut on my browser. So cool. That helps every time. You can buy one of our mini t-shirts. We've got Fear Agent shirts still left over. We've still got a handful of Battle Pug shirts. We might have some old shirts coming back soon. So check those out.
Connor has really worn. Yeah. You got holes in the armpit. Stains.
Yeah, there's a red wine stain in one of them. These are authentic.
There's a different stain on another one.
That was the worst thing you've ever said.
That was over the line.
It was decidedly not. I've said much worse, but we will not approach that now.
And the best thing you can do to help us out is you can be an iFanboy member. They're our favorite people in all of the world. You can do that for $4 a month or $42 a year. That'll get you a prize pack. You can go to the higher level, $10 a month, $100 a year. That'll get you the prize pack plus a t-shirt. And those are the people we really appreciate. They really helped kept us going for years and years. They're keeping us going now. And we couldn't be doing this without you guys. So become an iFanboy member. We appreciate it very much.
And also a perk of being an iFanboy member is the giveaways we do. We've given away amazing stuff over the past year plus of the iFanboy membership program, and we've got some more giveaways coming up in May and June. You're going to want to stay tuned to ifanboy.com. We got some very cool stuff to give away. So become a member. That's how you don't miss out on it.
Well, all right then. We want to remind you that there's this podcast, but then there's other podcasts too. That we do so you can listen to those besides the video show, which we're going to talk about in a second. But there is the Talksplodes, which are interview podcasts. And Ron, what's coming? Do we know for
Talksplode,
sure?
Talksplode, yeah. Hypothetically, we should be talking to next week if everything goes right. We're going to be checking out Rick Remender on Talksplode, yeah. So.
Well, he's got the Fury. Oh, I miss Fury Agent. Yeah. Anyway, and then there's our Don't Miss podcast, which we missed. Yes. Last week for the first time ever, but that was not a bad 24.
We took a week off. Yeah, it was 25 episodes in a row, took a week off.
Every 25 weeks, we're going to take a week off.
You can thank a very prominent Marvel creator for that week off. But
about as prominent as they get.
Yeah.
Next
week, Chris is going to be back, and Chris Neeson is going to be talking to somebody, and tune in on Monday, you'll find out who it is.
There was no information in my segment.
None whatsoever. So
I got it. I was like, I'm forgetting something that. Yeah. But there were some really good Talksplodes in the last month, and you should go check them out. Like we said, the Joe Kubert one it was a less than 30 minutes, I think, but it was one of the most fun ones I've ever done.
I love seeing people on Twitter just going, just listen to the Joe Kubert interview. It was great. Like seriously, yeah. not blowing smoke up your ass, not patting our own selves on the back. Josh, you did a great job on that interview, and it was a really good one to listen to, as well as the John Romita one that we did back in March. So
yeah, and
How nervous were you, Josh?
I was pretty nervous because I didn't know what he was going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, like he's 83 years old. He's from, he's old school. Like you never know. The thing is, older artists, like those guys who've like come around to be convivial are tons of fun to talk to.
Yep.
Jaded writers who are in their 40s and 50s who've been in the industry for 20 years.
Awesome.
Those guys are mad.
Yeah. I mean, they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore.
You could just hear the spite coming out of him, and I just didn't know who I was going to get. And they came on, and he was like, "Hi, Josh," and I was like, "Oh,
yeah!"
And it was great. It was great.
It was great. Good prof. So cool.
You can check out ifanboy.com for my pick of the week review, Josh's book of the month review, all of our writers. We got daily content. We got so much stuff going on there. We got Word Balloon every week from John Suntress. It's all kinds of things happening at ifanboy.com. If you can go to ifanboy.com/about, you can find our social network links, be our friends on all kinds of places, mostly Facebook and Twitter, but anywhere you want. Goodreads as well. We're all on there on ifanboy.com/about. Every Wednesday, we've got a video show that happens on ifanboy.com and revision3.com/ifanboy. Last week, we went into our own vault and pulled out the Stumptown interview that we did a couple years ago.
Surprisingly fresh.
Yeah.
It didn't come out for various reasons that we don't really need to get into, but we pulled it out. It was a good one. I remember very, very distinctly being stuffed in the corner of that little tiny room and holding that camera for a long time.
That's I like how you referred to as cameraman.
Yeah.
By Greg Rucka, one of your writing heroes.
Cameraman. I was stuck in the corner. It was like a 5x5 room. Anyway.
Oh, how things have changed.
next week is the return of the anthology show. Each one of us talking about something fun.
Here's what I'm saying. Batman's Coin, Body World, Other Lives.
Nice. It's going to be a good show.
Yes.
You can email us, like we said, at contact@fanboy.com about people email us about anything. You don't need me to tell you what to do. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. If you get it on the show, you want to keep it short, you want to be to the point, and you want to tell us who you are and where you're from. That's how it gets done. Also, good question. That also helps.
Yes. And if you like what we do, go to iTunes, write a review of the show, write a review of Don't Miss, write a review of the video show. All the reviews help people discover it in iTunes, and it's a good way to spread the word. And also spread the word. Tell your friends. Tell the folks at your comic book store. The iFanboy, iFan base is strong and growing every day, and it's because of you. And we want to thank you for that and continue to do so. So
strong like bull. Strong like bull.
So, Connor, welcome back. Is it good to be back in the saddle?
Zatanna. That's who I would date.
Oh, nice one.
Fishnets. Awesome. Hot.
Nice.
There's someone I can't think of it. I'm going to have to come back with it next week.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know it. The thing was, I was focusing on superheroes, and I know it's like in a Vertigo book or something.
Yeah. You could write at the review, the article that no one thought you'd ever write, Who I Would Date in Comics by Josh Flanagan.
That's a good idea.
The article no one thought we'd see happen.
The comic book character I most want to. Anyway,
so
Chase. We get a lot of hits on that one. You should do it.
You totally should. Yeah. Until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm thinking that maybe Tulip? No, ooh. She scares me.
She would fuck you up.
Tara Chase?
No, she's too much. That's the thing. All the ones that I immediately thought, they kind of intimidate me.
What about Mockingbird? You love Hawkeye. Mockingbird.
They're married.
What about the Fables girls, Snow White or the Red Riding Hood?
No.
Cinderella.
Dirty.
Or Bigby.
Bigby. And it comes out.
He is a shapeshifter. Why limit your options is what I'd say.